Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rockets start the playoffs on Sunday. Astros rolling, undefeated at home, coming off a sweep of the New York Yankees. Texans 11 shows away, 2 weeks exactly from the NFL draft, which means it's an important draft for Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien. Mad Radio brought this up yesterday, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. Of all the coaches potentially getting fired, and I think we have two really good coaches here, and the jury's still out on Bill O'Brien and what exactly he is five seasons in. What do you think is the likelihood or what it would take for all three of the coaches to get fired? Let's go through all three coaches and what it would take for all three to get fired. Because I think one is on the hot seat in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you which one that is. But I just want you to go through the big three sports and tell me what it would take. And this is all hypothetical for each of the three coaches to get fired.
Well, I think the most obvious one in the hottest seat, even though he's coming off an 11-5 record, is Bill O'Brien. If there's a total collapse, he's going to be in year six, right?
Right.
So he's going into year six. Got an extension. I get it. But you've got Deshaun Watson. You've waited, I guess it was 15 years before you got a real true franchise quarterback. And you've got him. And if this team falls on its face.
5-11 or something like that.
Yeah.
You think a 5-11 season means that Bill O'Brien's fired after the first year of his extension? Or you think that
possibly,
the
but
next
for
season
sure,
he'd get one more year?
Possibly, but for sure. A legitimate hot seat.
Let me ask you this, because this is another thing. I don't know what. How do you get? Like, let's pretend that Bill O'Brien goes 5-11 next year, and he comes back. He goes 10-6, 11-5. They win the AFC South, but then he goes to the playoffs and he loses again. How am I supposed to feel better about that? Where's the tangible improvement? What would be seven seasons in, assuming that? Because let's be honest, Bill O'Brien shouldn't have a playoff win at this point. He has one playoff win, but that was because Derek Carr got hurt and you were facing Connor Cook. Other than that, the Texans have completely wet the bed in the playoffs. So based on that, I think if I saw that two seasons in, given the fact that Deshaun Watson will now be getting paid like an elite quarterback,
right.
I think it might be time for a new coach because you can't tread water for 7 years and get the benefit of the doubt.
Now, I think in that scenario, there will be a lot of fans clamoring for him to be fired or whatever, but he won't be because they're built in. Excuses. That's the only way you can put it. You know, you didn't really sign anybody. The line's still building. You got young receivers in Fuller and QT. You never found a running back. You got drafted players that are going to be drafted this year.
Well, by that time, they would have had to have given Will Fuller a second deal.
This is true. This is absolutely true, but I think that if they make the playoffs and lose again early, he's going to be back.
Okay, so
it might be Jason Garrett. You know, everybody's kind of looking over their shoulder, but he's going to be back.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bill O'Brien has at least a 2-year window until the seat gets warm, and that's just depending on what happens. I'm actually pretty more optimistic about the Texans heading into this season than next. AJ Hinch, I mean, I don't know what he seems like a lifer to me. It seems like A.J. Hinch is going to be the manager of this team for a long time, for if no other reason because they're too damn good to not be good, if that makes sense.
Too much talent.
I don't think there's anything in the world that could get A.J. Hinch fired. Maybe three straight missed playoffs, two straight missed playoffs, something like that. The reason I brought this whole topic up is Mike D'Antoni. What if the Rockets lose to the Jazz in the first round of the playoffs?
Okay.
And we're looking at this team with all the hopes we've had and all the buildup. If the Rockets lose in the first round of the playoffs, I know D'Antoni just got his option picked up. Where would you put what temperature would you put his seat at? Warm, hot, out of here? Where would you put that?
Warm and perhaps hot. And the reason I'm saying that is because I think tangible stuff on the court he took him to the Western Conference Finals last year. So it's kind of hard to bail right there. Intangible stuff, off-the-court stuff, I'm not so sure how much they're getting along over there. I mean, they're doing a really good job of absolutely, putting on a good front. But you got a relatively new owner, a new owner. You got a general manager that just got a new deal. And you got a head coach who was fired because of a player that the general manager brought in Carmelo Anthony. Still somehow managed to cobble it all together this year and finish fourth in the Western Conference. They put on a good face, a good front, but I'm not so sure how much with the new owner and clearly a disagreement at some level between the general manager and the head coach in this past offseason, how much that's going to be a factor.
It's interesting you say that because if Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain, they're aligned. We know that Brian Gain is going to give Bill O'Brien the benefit of the doubt, at least right now, standing where they are in the process. Jim Crane, he loves A.J. Hinch. You already know that, and rightfully so. He won a World Series for you. I'm not sure Daryl Morey really likes Mike D'Antoni that much. And the reason I say this is a couple things. Number one, he brought in Carmelo Anthony despite the fact he had a rough history with Mike D'Antoni and Jeff Bizdelic. Number two, Mike D'Antoni was not a Daryl Morey guy. Mm-hmm. He was brought in by Les Alexander. This was a Les Alexander hire. I'm not sure how much Daryl really, really likes Mike D'Antoni as a coach.
I'm now, sure
likes,
they get along.
He likes the results, success. But I don't know how much rope Mike D'Antoni would get from Daryl Morey if the Rockets had a collapse in the first round.
Well, and here's the other point. And I always kind of feel guilty saying this because I like the guy, but the facts are the facts. You know, Daryl Morey does a fantastic job of public relations for himself. Now, who are we all in this for ultimately professionally? We're in it for us.
I'm in it for the team.
Yeah, sure you are. You say that, but you're in it for you.
I'm in it for you, Figgy.
I say it. No, it can be variations. Like, I'm in it for you. I'm in it for Figgy. But first, I'm in it for me.
No, don't. If you're just being honest. Now. Don't
right?
try to backtrack now.
I'm not backtracking. Here's my point. In what universe does a general manager of an NBA team not only is not on a hot seat, but is considered great, not good.
He just got an extension.
But is considered great at his job when he's gone through as many head coaches as he has gone past the first round in the playoffs over a 13-year career. Daryl Morey has been the Rockets general manager for 13 years. He's had four head coaches. He's gone past the first round of the playoffs four times.
You should have prefaced that with can I interest you in a stat, John?
Think about it. I feel guilty, but the numbers do not lie. He is considered great in this town. He's done some very good things.
He's worked some magic.
I mean, there's no denying any of that. But what's the ultimate gauge for a general manager? It's success. They've missed the playoffs three times under him. They've been eliminated in the first round five times under him. I mean, he's looking out for himself. Like we all are, is my point. Somebody's going to pay if this thing falls apart again this year.
And I think he could be the head coach, much to the dismay of myself, because you know how I feel about Mike D'Antoni. I think he's one of the most underrated coaches in the league. I think he's had significantly bad luck throughout his career. I could list the ways, but it would be a waste of time. It seems like injuries happen every time Mike D'Antoni goes to the playoffs. Hopefully it doesn't happen this time. Hopefully the Rockets get the job done against the Utah Jazz. But we'll see. Yesterday kind of troubled me in regards to the NBA because I had to watch the Portland Trailblazers, who benched all their starters and only had six active guys, face the Sacramento Kings. And I had to watch this because the implications were significant for the Rockets. And as hard as Portland tried to lose that game, they were up down 28 points. They ended up losing. And you know why they ended up losing? Because of the opposite of one of the most popular cliches in all of sports.
And that is?
What is the one thing someone says whenever their team loses a heartfelt game? They just wanted it more.
Right.
They just wanted it more. You know, I think it's absolute. I think it's ridiculous. They just wanted it more. Don't really know what the hell that means. I'm pretty sure both teams wanted it. They both left it out there. But they just wanted it more. You know why Portland freaking won yesterday against Sacramento? Because Sacramento wanted it less. That's the situation we find with the NBA now. All these teams are trying to lose. There's lottery teams battling it out, and they're just trying to lose. The NBA regular season, as much as we like college football's regular season, as much as we like the NFL's regular season, the NBA's regular season has become a joke. And I don't know how you get rid of it, But when Portland is trying to lose a game because they want the four seed that the Rockets got, and they bench all their starters for, quote, rest.
And you out-rest
to
them.
Get a seed. And you they won a freaking game because they wanted it less. Mm-hmm. And then we got the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Denver Nuggets. Denver, I jinxed it. I said the Rockets were the two seed. I made the announcement. Sean Pendergast, who's going to join us in a second, gave me an update on the games. I didn't think there was any way that this happened. They finished on a 15-0 run. They win, and that's why the Rockets are the four seed. But it won't be that bad. But the moral of this story is I watched some dog-butted basketball yesterday, and a team won a game that they probably should want to win in the big scheme of things because the other team wanted it less.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
And that's the NBA. And a lot of guys were jockeying for that the lottery position as well, which, by the way, three teams with the same percentage chance of the number one overall pick. That was interesting.
Who are the three?
Phoenix.
Knicks.
And who's the other one, Sean?
Someone crappy.
NBA lottery teams. Phoenix, Knicks. I noticed that they all have the 14% chance to get the number one overall pick.
And you know the Knicks are going to get Zion.
Mm-hmm.
It's destiny. It's just...
If he goes to Phoenix, we got a new ball game in Phoenix.
We got Ayton Booker and Zion.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be nice.
That'd be real nice.
That'd be real nice. Clint Sterner looking good. He's got the flat bill.
Oh, see, but he can pull it off.
He's 40.
Okay, I'm in my 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that far off.
Cavs.
Oh,
yeah, Cavaliers.
Dude, the Cavs always get the first pick.
They all
they
have
lose.
A 14% chance.
They always get the first pick when they suck.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Bennett, Kyrie Irving, then they traded the Wiggins pick. Cavs just get so damn lucky. But I don't want Zion to go to Cleveland.
I don't think the Cavaliers
it.
And Lucky.
You are
don't
a hater.
I don't think Cavaliers and Lucky have been in the same sentence very often.
They got LeBron, right?
Well, they did do that second time around.
Yeah, well, they got him the first time, too.
Mm-hmm.
They got the ping pong balls.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.